Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Kitty Green is in our 18th story studio and is looking out at the window. She's a film director. So what do you think, film director?
Oh, wow.
How about this for a view?
It's beautiful.
Or if you ever make a movie about a radio station, shoot it in this studio. You got the breadth of the lake and the city and everything right here.
It's distracting, though. I'm not even concentrating. I'm just keep looking out the window.
Do the eyes of a film director work that way? When you walk around, when you come into new rooms, do you instantly sort of cast a movie in it? Do you see it cinematically?
Gosh, maybe. Definitely this room's pretty cinematic, to be honest, but yeah.
Your latest feature, prior to this anyway, was the documentary Casting JonBenet, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then before that, Ukraine is Not a Brothel.
Mm-hmm.
The Assistant is your latest. It stars Julia Garner, who I first saw in Ozark. She's the cagey blonde-haired gal in that series. Boy, is she good in that. You knew she was a good actress. Wait till you see her in The Assistant. Matthew McFadden is in there, too. I just wanted to mention that again. I watch him in Succession. He's the bumbling to the top in-law in that TV series, and he's terrific in that, and is so good in this movie, too.
Mm.
What's The Assistant about?
Whew, it's the story of Jane. She's the youngest woman working at a production company. She's actually on the desk of a predatory film executive.
Is it Harvey Weinstein?
No, but it is and it isn't. You know what I mean? I mean, it's inspired by figures like that.
If Harvey Weinstein hadn't come to the surface the way he has, would this movie have been made?
Definitely not. I feel like we weren't allowed to sort of speak up about misconduct the way we are now. So.
Really? Weren't allowed? What do you mean
by
that?
Well, there was no avenues or spaces. I felt like we didn't even have the language to talk about what we'd seen a few years ago. So
maybe there wasn't an audience for it either.
Perhaps. I mean, well, people didn't want to. I mean, people often look the other way rather than try to figure out what was going on.
Is that a problem with this movie or a challenge with this movie? That is, do people want to watch this?
Oh, gosh, do people want to watch the movie? It seems to be going well. We're getting audiences, and they're really connecting with it, especially like young women really see themselves in the character, and it's been fabulous to show it around.
I wonder if the way to push a movie like this, market or promote a movie like this, is address the cause, or simply say, I don't care what the cause is, this is just an amazingly good movie, and don't get wrapped up in the, do I want to go there? Do I want to deal with that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was talking about young women, but men, everyone sort of can see themselves in this character. I mean, she's somebody that's working in a toxic work environment, and I think a lot of us have had that experience.
It's about one day in her life, isn't it, essentially?
Yeah, definitely. From she wakes up in the morning but when it's still dark and gets home after nightfall.
And we see the minutiae of her life and the complications of her life. You knew that it was going to be a certain kind of movie, if I may, when we see her say washing the dishes in the sink, or making coffee, or turning on the computers. Those things could have been accomplished quicker, but they aren't. And then you realize, oh, this is going to... The word they used in the New York Times review is minutia. I think that sort of isn't entirely fair if I just say that to how powerful some of those scenes are, but you get a sense that it's granular. This is what her day is like on a very intimate level, isn't it?
Yeah, I really wanted to put an audience into the shoes of a person in that position, and it's a really difficult position to be in. So I was going kind of task by task through everything she has to do, which is making the coffee and, you know, fixing the Xerox machine, but also like picking up after her boss who's into some bad behavior.
Or everybody else. I mean, she's taken for granted by the people around her left and right.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, I was interested in power dynamics in places like that. And specifically, there's some two boys in the office with her who give her a bit of a hard time and have a bit of a boys' club that goes on. And so that those kind of dynamics were interesting to me.
Is that way in the movie business? Is this representative, do you think, of Harvey Weinstein's world and the Assistants? Is it throughout the movie business?
I think it's not just throughout the movie business. It's everywhere. I mean, I made a film that's about the film industry, but I don't think anything in it is specific to the film industry. Everything is sort of transferable to any workplace. And I've had women come up to me that work in it for yacht companies, cosmetic companies, journalism, who all have experienced similar treatment.
What do they tell you?
Really, really, I've heard a lot of horrible stories, actually. And I think we are getting kind of tired of basically, I don't know, being kind of, especially young women, being invisible in this film, in the film industry, and not being promoted the way the men are. And I'm trying to get more women into positions of power. And I think we need to highlight the problems.
Oh, this movie does that. Make no mistake about it. But you know what it also made me do was just appreciate, regardless of the gender, those people who are the assistants, those people who aren't in positions of power, but are working and are working just as hard as you. And regardless of who they are, we should not take them for granted. We should see them as, God, this sounds so cliche, but, you know, as real people who have real lives, real personalities, real concerns, real ideas. And she is more of an appliance for some of those people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I've had a few people come out of screenings and say, wow, I'm gonna treat everyone a little better tomorrow.
That's the way I felt about it. I thought, I've got to be nicer to Elif, my producer. I literally thought that. I hope I'm no Harvey Weinstein to you, but I think if on the food chain of this radio station, I am one step above her, and then I don't know what the dynamics are around the building, but I thought, I should tend to that.
Yeah.
I should not take anybody or anything for granted.
Exactly.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about the casting then. Julia Garner.
Julia Garner. I saw her in Ozark and The Americans and thought she was wonderful. And we needed somebody. There's not a lot of dialogue in the film. There's a lot of sort of, she does a lot of tasks. Like you're watching her go through her day. So I needed someone who had a striking look, I guess, and an audience could follow. And she's really interesting looking and a fabulous actress. So she read the script. She liked it. We work well together.
How do you audition someone like that? Or does she not audition for that?
She doesn't audition. I kind of proved her worth. You know, like she's good and I knew it. So I just wanted her involved.
But then is there a moment though where you begin filming and you go, okay, but we got to see what you got, because you're right. It's not a lot of dialogue. It's a lot of her acting silently. How do you know when you've made the right choice? Was there a scene or a moment where you go, wow, that was it?
I don't know. With Julia, it's almost every scene and every moment. And we had a lot of discussions in pre-production during like rehearsal processes. We spoke to a lot of assistants together. So there was a big build-up. So when we got to the set, we knew what we had to do. And she delivered.
New York Times said, Garner is so wonderfully cast that she makes the slow draining of Jane's soul almost visible. That must make you feel good as a director.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, yeah, Julia's wonderful, so I could praise her till the cows come home.
And Matthew McFadden, who I mentioned a moment ago, I see in Succession, and he's the HR guy. Boy, there's a contradiction of terms at this company.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about him and his performance.
He's wonderful. He's such a gentleman, and he was so fabulous to work with. But the character is really awful. He's kind of very insidious kind of performance. Basically, I was trying to make the point that these HR departments, they're often there to protect the company and not the employees. And that's his role, protect the company at all costs.
You know? I used to interview a guy that's was outside the business, but talked about the business of HR people.
Mm.
And he said, that's it. If you have a real problem, get an attorney or get somebody else. But the HR guy there is to protect the company.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so evident in this performance. Again, the New York Times described his performance. They said, the turn taken by their conversation when she goes to report what she thinks is bad behavior by her boss, the turn taken by their conversation will hit you like velvet-covered shrapnel. Think about that for just a minute. But then I also had a couple questions about the Harvey Weinstein character and the way that the boss, to whom she is the assistant, in just a minute. Steve, our guest continues to marvel at these beautiful studio windows and views that we have here.
It's a lot to look at.
It really is. She even took a picture out the window of that. She's going to make a movie about my life as a radio talk show host.
It'll be a short.
And she's going to use this set as the thing. Do people do that, though? Kitty Green is in our studio. We're talking about her movie, The Assistant, which everyone should see. The reviews are good, and is it in theaters everywhere right now? Can I watch this in the Cineplexes?
I think it's coming out tomorrow.
Friday
is the release date.
In Chicago, it's in New York and LA already.
Do people do that, though? They say, make a movie about, and then you've got to listen to some pitch that people all have.
Not really, but I'm happy to take you up on your
offer. Make a movie about.
Sounds good.
I had the idea, actually. It was going to be called Crosstalk.
Okay.
And it was about, and so what do I know about the radio talk world? when one host is handing the show off to another host, that's called crosstalk. We talk across each other's shows. As my show's ending, and, you know, G will come on, our next hostess, and she and I will talk a little bit as mine's ending and hers starting. That period of time is called crosstalk. Mm-hmm. But cross is also means severe, mean talk, right? So what if the one guy ending is a flaming liberal and the other person is a Rush Limbaugh arch conservative? And when they do their crosstalk is when you have these intersections of these two worlds. And then it would be the intersections of the staffs, too. So the one guy or gal has, you know, producers and associates, and they're all team A and the other one's team B. And it's about the power dynamics, the intersection of these ideas.
Someone's going to steal this from you.
That's my idea. I don't know if that's a TV show or series or a movie, but it's called Crosstalk, and I bequeath it to you.
Sounds like all three of those things.
You may now make it.
Thank you.
But what an interesting time to be in your industry, too, because there's so many ways to develop stuff like this, right? You could do it for the big screen. You could do it for Amazon Prime. You could pitch it to a network. I mean, does your mind work like that, or do you consider yourself fortunate to be doing what you do now?
I don't know. I'm more into I have an idea, and I'm like an issue or a theme that I want to make a film about, and I enjoy kind of the making of it. I'm a bit of a nerd, so that's my thing. And then I have producers that figure out where it fits and where it should be seen.
When did you make the decision then to make this movie about the assistant the way you did? We described it earlier as it's one day in the life of this woman. There's not a lot of dialogue. It's patient and granular. It's everything Bombshell is not, right? it's not chatty. Did you know all along that the movie was going to have that look and feel?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to make a film about another bad man, you know? I felt like we know enough about what goes on behind that closed door. I was interested in kind of the machinery around a predator like that, and how do people get up into those rooms, and who knows what, and yeah, those issues of complicity and all of that. The culture of silence at a lot of these companies, kind of toxic workspaces, all of that went into the, I guess, the research process.
So the assistant and her colleagues are sitting just outside the boss's door, this Weinsteinish character, mm-hmm. and we never see him. I hope it's okay I reveal that. The reviews have done as much. Mm-hmm. Was it tempting, though, to take a peek and show us so much as his shoe? I mean, we just don't get a look at this guy. Were you ever thinking, I'll give him a peek or a glance?
He does cross camera once or twice. So
he does
like a glance. There is a glance. And I was happy to. Yeah. There is a moment.
Shame on me. That's lost on me just now.
Ha ha. Whoops. But I did. No, I wasn't. I had no interest. I felt like the fear, like the kind of fear and his power is so corrosive. And if you can sense his power over the people, that was more interesting to me. It's like the shark in Jaws. It's kind of scarier if you don't see it.
What did you think about the part of the story that while the assistant is new, she's a Northwestern grad, go Northwestern, mm-hmm. just up the road here, and she's just been there for a couple of months. Her parents are on the phone rooting her on, saying, we know it's hard, honey, but you hang in there. They have no idea, evidently, what she's dealing with, right? But then there's other people on the staff who've been there a long time, and they're as corrosive as anybody, right? They are completely aiding and abetting this guy. What's up with them? And why didn't one of them put a stop to this or educate her or call him out?
I guess I was exploring, like, those are the questions I had. So I was asking, I'd spoke to a lot of people. I was interested in the culture of silence, like I said, this idea that you don't speak up when you can, or you kind of joke about it rather than talk about it directly. It's easier not to think about what's going on in that room, and that's kind of demonstrated in the movie. But I was also, I think we try and make sense of these situations by saying, oh, these people are bad and these people are good, but it's really complicated because they're part of a system that's kind of dehumanizing. Like, they're kind of worn down by those jobs and by kind of the toxicity of that workspace. So, yeah, they're making different decisions than I think you think you or I would do, but maybe we're in that position.
Well, we're walking into it fresh, and you're right. They sort of have a roll of the eye, like, oh, here we go again. He's upstairs with that gal, and we got to wait for him until he's done doing whatever he's doing up there, and everybody knows what he's doing up there. Mm. And they treat it as sort of an inconvenience of their work without pausing to think, no, that's a human being up there that's being manipulated, abused maybe, and they don't have a sense of appreciation for how bad that is until this assistant comes along.
Well, yeah, she tries to speak up, and she's quickly shot down. And we don't know how many of those people had tried to speak up and had been kind of destroyed by, essentially, this machinery that this predator has built around himself. He's got a very kind of he's very manipulative, and that environment is strictly controlled.
Yeah. I also think you're right that it's probably not just the motion picture industry that has this, right, of course. In fact, you didn't really dwell too much on the making of movies business in this movie, did you?
No.
Is that a conscious effort on your part so that it felt like it had a broader appeal that way?
Yeah, definitely. I wanted it to be transferable to any workspace. So I did hear a lot of crazy stories from assistants from the film industry, but I felt like the kind of more ordinary were actually more interesting to me because I would hear them again and again and again.
So, like what?
Well, simple things like just being a woman in the office and being asked to get the coffee, where the boys don't have to do that job, but you have to do that because you're the woman. You know, those kind of gendered division, that gendered division of labor was a specific kind of interest.
Pardon me, but that still happens, right?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, in some offices it doesn't, and in some offices it does, but that's pretty common. The ladies are still cleaning in the kitchen and getting coffee?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I hear it again and again from women. They come up to me after screenings and say that.
And would say what?
Well, that they're still struggling with that. They're still struggling with trying to get people to take them seriously in their jobs.
Do you have advice for them? Because I suppose the danger is if you push back, then you're just seen as a malcontent, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this has been the dynamic for decades. Have we progressed a little beyond that?
I think we're getting better and better. But I think the more conversations we can have about this, the better. Because I think people do analyze their behavior and have a little think about, how am I treating others? And am I supporting other women who come into the workplace? And, you know, all of that stuff.
Kitty Green's movie is The Assistant. One last question for you, Kitty. Do you think that or worry that people will come out of this movie and say something like, I kept waiting for something to happen and something big or dramatic did or didn't? Have you thought about that?
It's funny. A lot of women come out of it and say, my God, what a gut punch. And then you get a few people who say, oh, nothing happened. You know what I mean? I feel like it is, people react to it in a different way. It's like people have very strong emotional connection to it often, and it does hit hard. So I guess it depends on the person.
And finally, what are you working on now? I mean, so is there another cause or issue? It sounds like that's how you sort of see your next movie.
Well, I'm thinking about a series called Crosstalk. But no, I don't know. I'm figuring out.
No, work with it. Come on. One to ten. How good is my idea?
Yeah, it's all right. I'd give it a 7. Yeah. It could use some polishing.
It's also, I express this to everybody like you I meet, and they say this about my idea. That could be a movie. That could be a TV show. Whatever. That's not the point. It's more, who can we get in that movie?
Mm.
Who's going to direct it? Who's going to produce it? It's more about the players almost than it is, you know, if Jason Bateman wants to be one of the talk show hosts,
mm-hmm,
or somebody like that, then yeah, that movie will get made if he gets behind it, but he's, mm-hmm, not behind it. Is there some truth to that?
Yeah, great stars sort of elevate the material. I know I had like a 12-page scene that Julia and Matthew, when they were the HR scene, really brought life to it in a way that it's very different to what's on the page. It just really has a lot more, I mean, not that the words are still the same, but there's so much texture and depth to what the way they're performing it. It really makes a difference.
That scene where she goes to the HR guy to report some bad behavior by the boss is, I would say, the highlight of the movie for me.
Mm.
And just the body language between the two of them speaks volumes,
yeah,
doesn't it? And so is that something where you talk to them and go, okay, twirl the pencil in your fingers, or take the scarf off, put the scarf on? How closely do you work with them on that?
Julia and I worked really for a long time on it. Matthew, we didn't have for that long, so he kind of came in and was just so phenomenally brilliant that, you know, everything he did was genius. So, and they did it again and again, and every time they found something new, and it was wonderful.
Kitty Green's movie is The Assistant. It opens this weekend, and off she goes now to other parts far flung to promote the movie. I'm promoting it too. Well done, Kitty. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.